Inconceivable!
Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know!
And now, a yak.
Yak?
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found Secular Yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years.
Many years of yakking at each other.
We're here to yak at you.
So sit back and enjoy the yakking.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Hope you had a wonderful week.
Yep, hope so. It's been a very, very busy week.
It has been very busy.
Yes.
It worked a lot.
Did a lot.
I didn't sleep a lot.
No. No, actually, you slept at work.
Yeah.
Well, so you definitely didn't get any sleep.
Yeah. So I'm fairly exhausted.
Yep. And no kids.
No kids this week because they are at camp.
Yay.
Yay for camp.
Awesome camp, actually.
Camp Quest.
Camp Quest Northwest.
Right. One of my favorite camps.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. I went to a couple summer camps when I was a kid, but this one would have been way cooler.
Yeah. I went to ROTC summer camp and it was fun, but it was ROTC.
I went to swim camp, so I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Speaking of Camp Quest, they are having a fundraiser.
That's right, they are.
Yeah, they're having quilts that were made by the Oregon campers last year and put together by one of the great quilters that they have on staff, Sharon, and they are auctioning them off.
Yeah, it's to help raise money for Camp Quest, right?
For a permanent camp.
Oh, for a permanent
camp. Yeah, they want to have their own camp.
Oh, I didn't.
Which would be really, really cool.
Yeah, and very needed. The camp here in Washington, it's Camp Quest Northwest, and it's been here for, what, 4 years now?
This is fifth year.
This is fifth year?
Yeah.
Our kids have been going every single year that it's been here. You were actually on the committee to help try and get it here in Washington.
Right.
And it fills up every single year with a waiting list, and this year, as a matter of fact, it filled up in the first 4 hours, and they have a waiting list that's a full size of another camp already.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy. So it's really, really needed because there are so many kids who want to be able to go, but, you know, you could only have as much space as you have, you know?
Right. And if they had their own camp, they could have more than one camp per year.
Exactly.
Which is desperately needed around here.
Yes. And it's not just local Washingtonians that go to it. There's people from all over this country that keep coming to it.
Right. There's one kid from New England somewhere.
Yeah. I remember 1 year. I think there's someone that comes from Alaska every year.
Yeah.
I think somebody else came from Canada.
Yeah. There's a Canadian kid.
And there's a couple from back east that come here. A few from California also.
Right.
Yeah. But there's Camp Quests all over the country. You know, not in every state or anything, but you can find one hopefully closer to you. What, you just go to Camp Quest North, or just Camp Quest, right?
Campquest.org.
.org, okay.
Right? And if you want to see the quilts that are being auctioned off, you can go to campquestnorthwest.org, and I think it's the latest post on the front page.
Yeah.
It's the Camp Quest Northwest 2016 quilt auction.
All right, there's 6 quilts.
Right, and I'll put that link in the show notes in case anybody wants to look at it.
Yeah. But it would be great if they could raise enough money to get a permanent place.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
It's really needed. And it's full. I mean, basically, the camp itself is, it's secular, it's science, it's critical thinking. It's a really good camp. And every kid that, well, and volunteer/counselor has a flipping blast.
I mean,
we basically have to drag our kids home when we go to pick them up. I mean, them and all the other kids just absolutely love it.
And they start counting the hours a week in advance.
So do the counselors, as a matter of fact, because I know one particular counselor, she doesn't stop bouncing off the walls because she's so excited to go.
Yes, but that's fine because it's a fun, fun camp.
It is. It's a really, really great camp. And it does a lot of good.
Yes, it does. Anyways.
Yes, dear.
We forgot to do our Twitterers.
Well, please do.
So, we have 2 new Twitter followers.
Twitterers?
Yes. William Hodge and Greg Stevens.
Yay!
So, cool. 2 new followers.
Awesome.
And you can follow us, too.
Oh, God. Secular Yakking, right?
At Secular Yakking. Why can't you do that?
Oh, whatever.
It's important. It's part of the Twitter.
Okay. I don't speak internet. Sorry.
Whatever.
I live in the real world, not the computer world.
What, you don't do Pokemon Go?
Oh, please. Don't even get me started on that.
Yeah, it's more like Pokemon No.
Blah, blah, blah. It's just, no. Nope, okay. Nope.
Anyway, I have good news.
Do you?
I do.
Uh-huh.
An atheist group settles with Bradley County, Tennessee sheriff.
Settles as in lawsuit. Settlement?
Yeah, as in settlement.
Oh, okay.
The American Atheist has settled a case for $41,000 with the Tennessee sheriff over his religious Facebook post at Easter.
And I assume it's a religious Facebook post through his sheriff.
The official,
as a sheriff.
As the official sheriff page. Yes.
Right, not as personal. Okay.
Well, that's what the news reports are saying, but they're leaving out one really important reason for the suit.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't just the religious messages.
Uh-huh.
And I'm pretty familiar with this issue.
Yes.
They were deleting and banning dissent.
So they weren't letting people have their free speech.
That is correct.
Yeah, you know this really well because you keep getting kicked off of a lot of things.
I just got one last week.
And they keep doing it. I don't understand how they don't realize they can't do that.
Well, they're slowly starting to understand that they can't do it.
Yeah. I mean, if it's not your private page, you can't block people.
Right.
It just doesn't work like that.
Government pages aren't allowed to block.
Well, that's what I meant. Yeah.
So most of the right-wing news sites and some of the normally left-leaning news sites are just glossing over that part.
That's convenient. That's,
yeah, it becomes a, oh, also this happened.
Yeah.
But I think that's incredibly more important to discuss in this issue than the religious nature of it. Yes, the religious nature shouldn't be on the page, right?
Right.
But it becomes more important when they have a religious message and they say, we don't want you to talk about it.
Right. We don't like what you have to say, so we're going to block you.
Right. So that's a violation of personal rights, not just separation church and state.
Right.
Now we're talking silence of citizens.
Freedom of speech, yes. Yeah.
Well, not just freedom of speech. It's also the right to address your government.
That's true, because you're shutting them down and not allowing them.
So now you've got freedom of speech and the right to address the public.
That's true.
Or the government.
Right.
So now
you've
got two rights and couple
two rights don't make a wrong.
Yeah.
Anyways, I had to do it. Go.
And then couple that with the separation church state issue, and you have a $41,000 settlement.
Oh, is that how it went down?
Yeah. But I'm still frustrated with this whole case.
Okay.
You want to know why?
Because they settled?
Because they settled.
Uh-huh.
We don't have a decision. And I've made this very clear.
To me, that's kind of just a cop-out.
Yeah, he quit.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't want to deal with this. I'm just going to settle, and then we'll go about our business.
Right.
I don't like it. He gets off with nothing.
Yeah, really.
I mean, technically, he doesn't have to pay.
Well, that's what I was thinking, because don't the taxpayers have to pay for this?
Taxpayers and the insurance company.
So he learned nothing personally,
and
because
in fact,
this, yes, it's on a government site, but he's doing this for his own personal gain.
And the county and the sheriff both, to this day, think they didn't do anything wrong.
They
settled out of court to get everybody to shut up.
Yeah, then this was, I mean, yes, it's great that, you know, they won a settlement, so it's not, but at the same time, they learned nothing. They don't acknowledge anything, learning or not. They don't acknowledge anything.
Well, the settlement also...
It's like sending them a bill in the mail.
Yeah. The settlement also stipulates the sheriff can have a separate page that is not connected to the official page and must have a disclaimer on it.
Right.
Saying it's not the official page. And they're also not allowed to post religious messages on the official page or delete and ban negative comments from their page.
Well, that was the rule all along. I mean... It's not anything new. It's ridiculous that they have to be told again.
And again. And
yeah.
Again. So this is the second case that I know of that settled out of court over stuff like this.
Oh, really?
Well, the first one was in Hawaii in 2012.
Well, settlements are better than complete no. So
exactly. That's why I like it, but I wish it had gone a little further. I wish it had at least gone to the first set of courts and gotten some sort of decision.
It's a start in the right direction.
Right.
Baby steps.
Baby steps, I know.
Hi, this is Dan.
Ryan.
And Matt.
With the Godless Revolution podcast, we've had a lot of great guests on this show.
Such as Russell Glasser, Dan Errol, Brian Fields, David Silverman, Doug Mesner, a.k.a. Lucian Greaves, and Joey Kirkman, whom we love a lot.
We've also had a lot of really cool local guests. And we're a podcast that likes to fight for the separation of church and state and against anti-skepticism of all kinds.
You should give us a listen, because if you don't, you're going to be really sad.
Make your ears happy. Listen to the Godless Revolution podcast.
And I got something worse.
Okay.
A firefighter told that he should burn.
Wait, a firefighter himself got told he should burn?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, this story is really disturbing.
Well, and it depends on who does the telling.
Well, here's the thing.
Okay.
Jeffrey Queen worked at the Bowling Green Fire Department for the past 5 years. He has filed.
Where's that?
I forgot. I didn't write it down.
How are we supposed to know
Kentucky.
This?
I know that I somehow I know Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Okay.
It's probably one of my police officers.
You have to remember, we want to know where, not just the county. Not everybody knows every county in this entire country, because I'm sure I don't.
Some of us might.
I can do states. I can't do counties.
I'm starting to learn them all, at least in the South. he has filed a lawsuit that claims that he faced repeated harassment from coworkers because he's an atheist and was often called gay slurs. In one incident described in the complaint, a captain allegedly said he would burn down Queen's House because he was an atheist. And in another, a firefighter allegedly told him, if a homo works here, we'll make sure he dies in a fire. We'll chop off his feet.
Holy crap.
These are firefighters.
Okay, firefighters are supposed to be basically a band of brothers.
Supposedly.
So that's just, besides the bullying aspect of it, you as a firefighter, I would imagine, because I've never been a firefighter, but I would imagine you rely on them for your life.
Yeah, a former firefighter, yes, you do.
Well, that's right. You did that in your glory days.
When I could, you know, move around.
But yeah, I mean, you're going into these situations knowing someone's got your back. And when you have this, there's so many things wrong with this. I mean, job harassment, bullying, harassment in general. And then the knowing that you don't have, you know, they don't have your back. It's terrible.
Yeah. Well, it goes a little further. Okay. I know it can't get much worse, but it does.
Uh-huh.
The complaint also alleges that firefighters repeatedly called LGBT people faggots and suggested that they would not touch LGBT people because they, quote, probably had AIDS.
Then they need a new goddamn freaking job.
I agree.
Because they're a bunch of assholes. Whoops. Seriously. Fine. What? Okay, they need to go find a new job.
I agree, and here's why. According to the complaint, a crew allegedly put such words into action, declining to offer medical care to a man experiencing chest pain after determining he was gay.
Wait, what?
Yes.
I zoned out. What?
The complaint also says that they did that to a gay man.
They actually did that?
That's what the complaint says.
Oh, I hope they sued.
I would assume the guy would sue.
I hope so. Because there needs to be some reprimand going on.
Yeah.
Because that's such bull.
Yeah. Well, the suit says this whole thing created a hostile work environment.
You think?
Yeah, I think so. And when Jeffrey complained, he was forced to quit for the safety of him and his family.
Oh, I'd sue.
He is suing. That's what this thing is.
I know, but Jesus, there should be more than just...
So, someone has already been terminated over this. So, I mean, this is ridiculous that they would treat somebody like this. These are firefighters. These are people who that you're supposed to trust your lives to. You're supposed to depend on when something happens.
Right, and they depend on each other.
Right. Not just that, just the general public.
The general public. They are there to serve and protect just as much as police officers are supposed to.
So here's where it gets iffy, because I now have at least 30 fire departments that haven't God We Trust on their vehicles now, right?
Oh, fire departments.
Fire departments, not just
police. Not just the police departments.
Right, fire departments, rescue vehicles. All of them have them, right?
Right.
What am I supposed to think? When I see stuff like this, coupled with their blatant religious statements on their vehicles,
right?
Am I going to get fair treatment?
It sure doesn't sound like it.
No.
I mean, these guys already proved that.
If the paramedics pull up to behind my car
with our bumper stickers, I know.
Do I expect the same treatment? Can I expect the same treatment?
From these people in particular, I'm not so sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's part of why this story really, really disturbs me, because these are people we have to depend on.
And I think they should be held accountable for not only what they're saying, but how they're saying that they are going to treat the public.
Right.
Because, I mean...
Somebody's going to lose their job over this.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Someone needs to lose their job or something, because you can't do that. When you are ensure to keep the public safe, and yet you make comments like this, let alone actually following through with some of it,
right?
There's got to be some serious repercussions. I mean, someone needs to say, look, you are fired because you need to go find another line of work if this is what your stance is.
Right.
Because you're freaking stupid. I'm just getting cranky.
Okay. So Tom's back with us with another yak from the past.
Hello.
Welcome back, Tom.
Thank you. Sorry for my break-in, my attendance.
That's fine. We had Carrie cover for you, so.
Oh, good.
And apparently everybody loves her, so you're fired.
That's not good. That's
Okay, so what do you have for us this week?
All right, well, this week I'm going to start off, I wasn't able to week off, but I just want to give a shout out to Torsten Peel. I hope I'm saying that correctly. Donated to my people. So I got my book of the week, and it's not a history book, but I know a lot of atheists and secularists podcast. So I really want to suggest the book. It's Dangerous to Believe by Mary Eberstadt. And it's basically, it's like a conservative Christian perspective that are going on in America. And it's super interesting and very frustrating. But I recommend picking that up just so you can read something outside your bubble. It will infuriate you, just so you know.
Well, I enjoy being infuriated on a daily basis, so I might have to pick that up.
Well, so this week we're going to talk about Benito Mussolini and Donald Trump.
Aren't they the same person?
So this election cycle, there's been a lot of talk comparing Donald Trump to Italian dictator Benito Mussolini. There are memes comparing Trump's mannerisms and facial expressions to Mussolini's. I'm sure you've seen that. A plethora of articles and blogs explaining why Trump and Mussolini share the same worldview. The underlying accusation is, of course, that Trump is a fascist.
Right. I've probably made that accusation myself.
So one of the offsided proofs of the fascism-Trumpism link is that Donald Trump often portrays foreigners, perceived enemies, Muslims, Mexicans, Megyn Kelly, etc., as an existential threat to the well-being of Americans, or to rally his base. It's true that Mussolini did much the same thing, but is that in particular really fascism? Let's not forget, this one's going to get me in trouble, but let's not forget that the Sanders campaign continually painted Wall Street as an existential threat to the well-being of Americans in order to be his base. Both Sanders and Trump, like Mussolini, have no concrete definition of who the enemy is. The enemy is vague, but the enemy is out there.
Right.
So is it fair to compare Sanders to a fascist dictator as well?
Well, I'm not going to comment on that because I like my friends.
Or is it that just that all partisan politics is organized around some perceived threat?
I think it is.
In politics in the English language, George Orwell, which if you have not read that, that's my second, is Politics in the English Language by George Orwell. Read that 8 or 9. So in Politics in the English Language, George Orwell wrote about meaningless words. In the essay, Orwell wrote, "The word fascism has now no meaning except insofar as it signifies something not desirable." So is Trump a fascist, or is he just not desirable?
Well, and under that definition, yes, he is a fascist. I'm good with that.
So this week I'm going to take a look about what fascism meant to Benito Mussolini himself. And I'll let the listener decide if there's a substantial link between Mussolini's worldview and Trump's. So quite helpfully for this task, in 1932, Mussolini wrote an entry for the Italian encyclopedia entitled, "What is Fascism?" So before we get to that, I've got a lot of reading from that in this week. So before we get to that, here's some background information on Mussolini. Mussolini was born into a socialist household, and he was raised as a socialist, a very adamant socialist. In 1914, he was expelled from the Italian Socialist Party after supporting Italy's entry into World War I. So this is important to know because much of Mussolini's ideas about fascism were defined as being the opposite of socialism. In the Italian Encyclopedia, Mussolini wrote, "Fascism is the complete opposite of Marxian socialism. The materialist conception of history of human civilization can be explained simply by the conflict of interests among the various groups and by the change in development in the means and instrument of production. Fascism, now and always," which is an interesting thing to say since there hasn't always been fascism, but anyway, "believes in holiness and heroism, that is to say, in actions influenced by no economic motive, direct or indirect, and if the economic conception of history be denied, and according to which theory, men are no more than puppets carried to and fro by the ways of chance, while the real directing forces are quite out of control, it follows that the existence of an unchangeable and unchanging class war is also denied, the natural progeny of the economic conception of history." There's a lot of words there, so I apologize for that. "And above all, fascism denies that class war can be the preponderant force in the transformation of society." So the long and the short of that is that fascism is the anti-social.
Right. Well, that was kind of a given.
So historian Bonnie G. Smith points out that fascism, was as practiced by Mussolini, was inherently paradoxical, which, of course, Trump can be paradoxical at times. So Despite the curtailing of individual freedoms of expression and speech under the fascist regime, avant-garde artists and intellectuals were actually encouraged to think freely and experiment under Mussolini's government, much to the dismay of many committed fascists themselves. So this paradox arises because Mussolini's fascism was all about harnessing the power of the state to direct the entirety of culture and society. Mussolini wrote, "The foundation of fascism is the conception of the state, its character, its duty, and its aim. Fascism conceives of the state as an absolute, in comparison with which all individuals or groups are relative, only to be conceived of in their relation to the state. The conception of the liberal state is not that of a directing force guiding the play and development, both material and spiritual, of a collective body, but merely a force limited to the function of recording results. On the other hand, the fascist state is itself conscious and has itself a will and a personality. Thus, it may be called the ethic state." So Mussolini envisioned the state as a living, breathing entity, and his political ideology was constructed around his resentment towards socialists and socialism. So the question is, does this sound like Donald Trump?
I'm going to have to say not entirely.
I would argue in some ways it does, and others it doesn't, but I will leave the final judgment up to the listener. I really encourage people to look up some more about Mussolini's view on fascism, what that actually meant to them, because it's very directed, whereas Donald Trump seems kind of all over the place, and it's just kind of whatever pops into his mind, whereas Mussolini had a clear world view. It could contradict himself, but it was a clear worldview, whereas Donald Trump just kind of says stuff.
Right. That's true. He does.
He just says whatever. There's no overall vision. So I'll leave that up to everybody to decide, and I'll think of something cool to do next week if I haven't been replaced by Carrie.
Yeah. Well, that was enlightening as usual. And listeners, if you do have an opinion on this and want to tell Tommy he's wrong, please do so.
Bring it. Bring it, people.
Anyway, as I said, enlightening as usual, Tom. Thank you. Well, the past 2 weeks have been very interesting on TV, as everybody can attest to. The Olympics have been happening. Now, normally I don't follow the Olympics, simply because I'm just not a sports guy, right? I'm not really into sportsing.
Well, I actually don't mind watching some of the Olympics,
some of the Olympics is pretty cool. I mean, it's not like your football bashing each other around.
I hate football, but yeah. We just don't watch TV the traditional way, so we kind of don't catch any of this. But, you know, some things, you know, like my daughter and I like to watch gymnastics, although we haven't watched any of the Olympics this year. But
well, we've been a little busy.
A little.
Well, there's a couple things that have happened in this year's Olympics that did catch my eye, though.
Okay.
And they don't have anything to do with actual sports.
that doesn't surprise me at all.
Well, let's start with, and I've got two things I want to talk about. One is a minor thing that made a big deal and a big deal that became a minor thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So start with the minor thing that became a big deal.
Okay.
During the award ceremony for the women's gymnastics, Gabby Douglas failed to put her hand over her heart while the national anthem was playing.
All right, I heard about this.
And the white right wings heads exploded.
The white rings.
White rings, right wings, whatever. In this case, I think it's all the same.
Because she didn't put her hand over her heart.
Right.
Okay, I have a couple things to say about that. One, it's our right to not do that if we choose so. And two, I could imagine just the whole craziness of it. She might have not even thought about it.
Exactly.
But if she even chose to do it, then what's the big deal? She chose. She has the right to do so.
So here's the beautiful thing. In the U.S. Code relating to the national anthem, the word is should. It doesn't say shall.
Oh, should put it over your
should.
Heart.
You should do these actions, right?
Right.
It's not shall.
Right.
There's a huge difference between shall and should. And that's a legal definition.
Which means it's all up to you.
It's basically optional. I compare it to your mother coming to you and saying you should clean your room.
Oh, well, don't tell my children that because she thinks she doesn't have a choice when I say that.
Right. You think you don't have a choice, but you actually do.
Yeah, well, right. They think that's that
how,
they don't.
That's how I compare it. It's a should, as in very stern suggestion, right?
Like you should, but I'm telling you under the lines that you're gonna.
Right. So that's kind of how it works with should and shall.
Uh-huh.
Shall means you will do it, period.
Yeah, and what if you're a lefty? I mean...
Yeah, I mean, what are you supposed to do?
But
talking about the right wing's head exploding?
Yes.
I have some tweets.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Here's one. Probably a member of dumbass Black Lives Matter thugs.
Holy crap. That's where they went with that?
Yeah. Here's another one. When I took my children to parades, I made them stand up and put their hands over the heart every time a flag went by. Misspelled by.
Of course.
Probably a Muslim posse or one of BLM crazies.
Oh, God, people, learn to speak in English.
Okay. She's a Muslim and doesn't believe in America or our flag or our Constitution.
God, people are so ignorant.
Maybe she should be on the refugee team.
Aren't people sweet? Yeah. I mean, as a whole, they're so sweet.
She should be deported to the country of her choice ASAP. We need Trump 2016 more than ever.
Holy moly.
Here's my favorite.
Okay.
Stupid bitch should not even be there. No doubt took a more qualified white or Chinese girl's place.
Wow. My God, people really suck.
Yes, they do.
My God, talk about inhumane and just nasty. They are just absolutely freaking nasty.
Right.
Whether she chose it freely or she just kind of in the heat of the moment, kind of like, I can't believe I'm standing up here and right. just didn't even think about it kind of a thing. But well, either way, what difference does it make? That does not make her less of an American to do so. I'm sorry. Correct.
Anyway, she does have a response.
Oh, okay.
In response to a few tweets I saw tonight, I always stand at attention out of respect for our country whenever the national anthem is played. I never meant any disrespect and apologize if I offended anyone. I'm so overwhelmed at what our team accomplished today and overjoyed that we are able to bring home another gold for the country.
So I don't think she needed to apologize, honestly. I really don't.
I'm completely
but
in
I'm
her
sure,
corner on this.
You know, so her. Her press around her, you know, her people around her told her she should.
Right.
But I don't think she needed to. I really don't.
I don't think she did either.
I mean, that's part of why we have the rights that we have. So that if we choose to stand and say the pledge, if we choose not to stand, if we choose not to say the pledge, if we choose not to put our hand over our heart, we all got that right because of what's gone down in this country.
And that's what makes America great.
Exactly.
We don't need to make America great again.
Remember and understand that.
Right. We don't need to make America great again. It's already great in some ways.
Yeah. And, you know, lose the nasty and start thinking before you open your big mouths and just spew out all this nastiness.
Yes. Now, on to something that should be a big deal and wasn't.
Okay.
It's the new Nike commercial.
Okay.
That featured a transgender man that's able to compete in the Olympics.
Okay.
Chris Moser had made the transition in 2010 and qualified for U.S. national team, making him the first known out trans athlete to join a team different from his opposite sex. So he is in, let me see if I can get this right, the duathlon.
Okay.
It's kind of like a triathlon.
But with two?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's running and biking.
Okay.
Right. And he was the first known out trans to make.
So was there a rule before
yes,
that
the Olympics, there
was?
There was.
Oh, you I didn't know that.
You had to compete under your sex of birth.
I did not know that.
Yeah. In the ad called Nike Unlimited Courage, Moser answers a series of questions within images of him running and cycling. Uh-huh. Like, how did you know you'd be fast enough to compete against men or strong enough? How did you know the team would accept you or that you'd even be allowed to compete? And the answer to each question is, I didn't. And the final question was, didn't you ever want to give up? And he answered, yeah, but I didn't.
Huh. I just, for me, personally, I don't see it as, the news of a big deal, maybe. But if it's a guy, if it's a girl, I don't really care. Well, if you can do it, then you can do it.
Right.
So everybody makes, you know, the big deal out of whether it was a transgender or just a normal birth sex person doing it. If you can do it, then by gosh, let them do it.
So here's why this is a big deal, or I think this is a big deal.
Oh, no,
deal.
I know that.
Well,
but
here's specifically why. Because everybody who was against the transgender being allowed right. were saying men will go compete in the women's section.
I was going to say that,
and they're
yeah.
going to dominate the women's section because they're bigger, they're stronger.
They obviously don't understand how transgender works.
They don't understand how that works. And now we have the exact opposite of what they're saying has happened.
Mm-hmm.
A woman, former
woman,
is competing in the men's section and qualifying.
Exactly. So, and again, but that's where I see the whole, if you can do it, then you should be allowed to do right. it. If they're transgender or not, I didn't realize there was a rule before. I just figured it was a qualifying to be able to physically do it.
Nope. It was a rule.
I mean,
they changed it. for in this Olympics.
So that's here, long enough.
So what most of those who oppose it don't understand is when you start the hormone therapy,
it changes your body completely.
Right.
I mean, between your muscle mass changes,
the placement of your muscle mass,
the placement of your muscle mass, the way your body is shaped, the way your body moved from the way it moves now, your everything, your voice, all of it. It's not just a man dressing up as a woman to go run in a race with women so he right. can dominate them. That's not what it's about.
That's not what it's about. No. Well, I'm also of the opinion that maybe we should start looking at co-ed sports.
Yeah, what is up with that?
Well,
I actually didn't even think about that until you just said that.
It's difficult because obviously, in general, when you look at the fastest men, right? So look at sprinters. Mm-hmm. If you look at the fastest men, they are considerably faster than the fastest women.
Okay.
Right. So that, I mean, it's just but the way the bodies are made. The
if
way that
you
they...
could have a woman who could run faster than the man,
right?
Why not?
So, but it all comes down to, are you training to go against men or are you training to go against women?
See, now in my opinion, it's you're training to be the best.
Right. So, but the way it's set up, you're training to go against the best man or against the best woman.
Yeah, because it's split like
that
right now.
You don't have to beat the best man. You just have to beat the best woman.
Right. I know. And to me, I see it as if you're supposed to, the Olympics is supposed to represent the best in the world.
Right.
To me, it shouldn't be a sexist thing. It should be who's the best in the world, period.
Right. And I think if we started looking at it that way, you would get women who could easily compete on the men's level eventually, right? It would take a great deal of training.
Well, and on the same sec, just to do devil's advocate type of thing, you do have the thing where, like, the majority of it is men, say, for the running thing, are able to run faster than a woman. You would never have a woman winning very much. So it's like, at the same time, do you have all three, you know, co-ed and singled out?
So if you had the singled out, you would never have anybody running co-ed.
Yeah, I know. Because, well, no, that's not true, because there are a lot of women
but the men
who
win.
Desire to be able to do what the men do.
But the men win. I don't think a lot of men win.
It doesn't mean... I have seen where she, you know, a woman would desire to be able to do what the men do, but only the men are allowed to. And once they're finally allowed, they are able to sometimes take over.
Right. So, like, the fastest women could very well qualify to be in men's races. They might may not win a lot of them to start, right? But they're in the races.
Right.
Right. It's the same thing with, like, NASCAR.
Right. You don't finally breaking that barrier.
Well, it's been broken for...
It just wasn't, it was like once and then nothing for a long time. Right. And
but the barrier is broken.
Right.
And now more can get in.
Well, and also today is a lot different from back then as far as women aren't just in the kitchen anymore kind of a thing.
Right.
So you'll see a lot more of that
kind of stuff. In the majority of sports, women can compete at the same level as men. Mm-hmm. There may be a few that may or may not be able to.
It's like with the military. They're finally, you know, letting women go in, you know, the front lines kind of thing.
Yeah.
And you know, the military is stating that they will not compromise
on
what the qualifications are. And, you know, women, if they want to do it, they got to be able to do what the men do. And I am so for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they shouldn't change it just to appease women. Actually, as a woman, I think it's kind of insulting if they did.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you.
I mean, you should have to do exactly what's always been done. Otherwise, that's pandering, and it's an insult. I don't know how else to put it. It would just be an insult.
I think it would be.
I mean, truly.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
I think that's all the yakking I got for you tonight.
Yeah, I'm ticked off enough.
Okay. We'll see you guys next week.
All right.
We always like to hear your feedback, so leave us a voicemail at 704-802-YAK or an email at podcast@secularyakking.com.
More input.
All comments are welcome. We like to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. You also can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+.
If you like our show, head over to your podcast directory of choice and leave us a 5-star review. If you really like the show, support the show on our Podbean patron page.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
And we'll be back next week with more yakking to please your eardrums.
This show is a member of the Secular Outreach Network, an affiliation of Secular Media Producers. Learn more at secularoutreach.com.